Blog Talk Radio. Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.
Hi everyone, it's Chatting with Nat. Yes, it's Natalie Jean, it's Natalie Shaw, and today we have the honor of having singer-songwriter Megan Graney. Megan Graney launched her musical career in 2021 with debut single Borrowed Time. The Bay Area native is known for her stylistic approach using healing lyrics and colorful production to create masterful sound. Her ability of bringing sonically rich melodies to the listener shines through, bringing nostalgic memories and lived experiences that champion mental health stigmas and her search for authenticity. Her single Waves focuses on the journey of grief and how it changes as time goes by after losing someone. Let's give her a round of applause.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Well, living through a pandemic. I'm all right. I'm still alive.
Exactly. I know. Just doing our best every day. That's what else can we do?
How have you been during this pandemic?
You know, it's been good, but it's been very challenging, I feel like, with everyone else too. I think the biggest thing for me during this whole time period since the shift happened was just trying to find balance and maintain, I think, healthy habits that are in my control. And really, really focusing on myself. I think being able to have this time and not feeling so pressured to be working as like a creative and a contractor, as a singer, I was kind of able to have way more time to myself and really reflect on, okay, what do I want to do with my craft, and like really prioritizing resting and self-care and nurturing myself. I think I'm naturally just a big giver to my friends and other people and relationships that I didn't, you know, you don't really realize how drained you are until you stop moving. And then so I was like, okay, this is a good reset and a really good opportunity. I was looking at it like an opportunity instead of something negative. And, you know, what's within my control, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, to do the best things within my power and to use the gift that I have to really express myself and feel joy and really prioritize joy and feel good and just kind of maintain that frequency, even though that's not to discredit and say there weren't very, very difficult days. I actually lost a parent during this pandemic. So that's even more of a reason why I took very conscious time towards myself and making me a priority, because I had noticed I was, you know, you just kind of get distracted. I think humans are so naturally resilient that like once you start conditioning yourself to doing so many different things at once, you don't realize you're kind of running on empty or running out of fuel. So that was a big, you know, in my face lesson. And so I just kind of surrendered to that, which was not still a process. This is a process every day, but I think that was my biggest takeaway with the pandemic and how that impacted me, my family, my partner, my livelihood, my creativity, all of it, you know?
No, I get it. Believe me, you know, I sat down at first year and I was just like, I was, you know, brain dead. I mean, I did get COVID. And I mean, you just brain dead. You're just like, okay, what is going on here? I actually sat down and was just like, is this real? Because this is something that you hear that can only happen in the 1920s, 30s, before Christ, after Christ, and all that stuff. And you're just like, are we really wearing masks? Is this where we are now with everybody walking around with masks or staying indoor for about a year and not even being able to see or touch loved ones? It was very surreal. During this time, yes. Did you do any live streaming at all? I know you just
During the whole thing, I haven't done a lot of live streaming. The only stuff that I was, I guess, like in Zoom form was things for therapy. I was in a lot of therapy to kind of learn a lot of tools to help myself after my father passed away. So I kind of took a major hiatus from performing in itself. And just dove into healing and really processing a lot of intense emotions that were surfacing, which I thought was great because I was like, oh, my God, I couldn't imagine having to do that in normal settings, as in, like, the world is still functioning pre-pandemic. You know what I mean? Like, people who've lost loved ones in a normal, I guess, quote unquote, normal environment, I could not have imagined trying to balance that without having that time. And that was actually the time I started writing a lot of songs. So instead of performing, I shifted into more like inward digesting, and a lot of that birthed a ton of my own original songs. So that's kind of how the whole coming EP came about, instead of actually using my voice for like performing. I was like, okay, how can I use my voice to tell stories that I know a lot of people can relate to, just because I think what's happening on a micro and macro level is so universal too, that to me it felt like, oh, okay, I'm not going to not talk about this when I know this isn't just impacting me and my family. This is impacting thousands, millions of people. And to me, that was like, okay, there's a greater purpose in taking this time to really do it in the way that I want, like not necessarily the right way, because the right way is all about perspective, but giving the quality that I wanted to music for people to really feel something good from it, whether it was empathetic or resiliency or even sadness that we've all kind of experienced from different, you know, journeys that we're all on. So I thought like that was a really good choice to kind of take a step back and reevaluate what I needed to do, because before I was performing all the time. And then I was like, oh, okay. But I was performing for other people kind of in a more supportive role and performing other people's music, singing on other people's music. I wasn't necessarily singing my own stuff. It wasn't until like the last really 2 years I started to take my own craft very seriously, and then shifted away and then dedicated more time to honoring that space as, no, this is actually what you need to be doing.
And
prioritizing that.
I get that. You just answered my next question, basically.
Two for one.
Because one of the things that I always ask everybody, because we have a year and a half or 2 years going on, 2 years of pandemic, you know, this was a time of a lot of self-reflection about who and what we want to be. And a lot of my friends decided they were going to come back on work because they realized they weren't spending enough time with their family.
Right.
Some people, you know, decided to rebrand their whole music, took all their music down and decided, no, they want to do something else with their music. They want to do another genre or several genres. Some people quit their jobs and just said, screw this. Yeah. I want to do something that's going to make me happy.
Right.
The world, I mean, climate change, my God, the animals and the Mother Nature were like, oh, these people are out of this world. I can breathe for at least a year. no one can deal with these people anymore. Fantastic.
Right.
And I know a lot of artists decided that, you know, they want to be a more effective player with their music. They want their music to make a difference. Did you think about as well, that you want to make music that really makes a difference, where a person gets this, oh my God, this artist really gets me?
Yeah, I did. Actually, that was really the only reason why I wanted to make my own music. Before, I had such a, like, I guess it's called imposter syndrome, where you know, don't necessarily want to be the focus of the attention. You know, I've always been a person that has been wanting to, like, uplift other people, and to me, I was like, okay, I can do that in my craft, and the only way I could even really accept any kind of attention on me as an artist was if I knew that what I was writing was almost an act of service for people. Otherwise, I was like, this feels very not aligned for me if I wasn't making music like that. Not to say there's anything wrong with other people who, you know, are doing it for other reasons. I think just for my personality type, I would have felt more guilty, or I guess felt it was more ego-based if I was just like, hello world, look at me. Here's my stuff. As opposed to, like, I'm like 31, so I'm not super young, but I'm still like a young adult where I have experienced some very permanent life-changing shifts through my life, and that's not glamorizing it in any way. I think for me, it was knowing that the personal experiences I've lived through, the things that I could say that would really resonate with people on a very holistic level of helping people, one, not feel alone, two, feel heard, and three, feel connected more. I think the biggest thing for me, I was realizing, even with my own friends and myself included, was that this time has been extremely divisive, and within that, an easy opportunity for people to feel so disconnected. So for me, it was like, can I actually do that within my own voice? And that feels, you know, authentically me, just like you said, just, you know, we're being ourselves here, and have that make other people feel good, even if it's through a sad song, or even if it's through, not all my songs are sad, but even if it's through the whole array of music that I do write, there is a lot of conscious intention for the frequencies in music, just because I know how powerful music is on a healing level. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're going through as a collective is a major catharsis, a major healing, a major shift, a major awakening to who we really are, what we're really meant to do here, you know, each soul's purpose, your path. And for me, I was like, well, I can provide this as kind of like a music healing service. I don't really look at it as like, yes, I'm an artist and a songwriter. I really do view it as a form of healing that people can experience, whether they're in their car or cooking in the kitchen or laughing with friends. Like, I do visualize all those scenarios when I'm writing stuff to, I guess, kind of manifest in a way how this is going to get received by many different people. So You are spot on. I am writing it for people. This is a purpose greater outside myself. I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't for that.
To all of that. Yes, yes. I sat down, I think it was the year before the pandemic, and was just like, oh yeah, I definitely want to be an effective player. I mean, I love mainstream music, don't get me wrong, but sometimes it all sounds the same. I actually listen to I listen to the lyrics more than I listen to the melodies now. I really like to see what the people are saying, how they're saying it, how they're emoting. Are they really just singing the song just to become popular, or they're really invested in what they're doing? That's what's really important to me. I'm a voting member with the Recording Academy now. It's like voting this season and all that stuff, and we're getting the ballots out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
When I listen to music, I have to see the artist in that particular song. I have to see it. If I don't see it, if I can't see it, it's hard for me to connect. I like to be able to know that the artist was very vested in what they were doing. And there's no shame in people wanting to create music because they want to be famous and stuff like that. That's somebody else's agenda. We all have our different agendas of what we want to do with our music. But I want to be able to say, oh, Natalie did this, or at least she tried to do this. And oh my gosh, she didn't care. She spoke her truth and it allowed me to speak my truth. I want my music to make a difference. So I understand where you are coming from as well. What was it about the music industry that made you go, whoa, this is me, I have to do this? Was it something that you saw, you heard?
Yeah, it was several things. I've been, I guess, gravitating towards it since I was like little tiny me. Like inner child Megan would be thrilled with me actually finally being brave to do this.
Right.
And before it started out with group work, I was like always singing in choirs. I loved that kind of communal sharing with like being one voice in a mass. And that's kind of how I started. And then I accidentally fell into the film scoring world when I moved to Los Angeles. That wasn't my intention at all. I had a music business background from Berklee College of Music over in Boston. And I started to do more management work for studios here for film composers. And I think it was kind of the moment when I also saw choirs, getting professionally recorded for major films. Like I had worked on Despicable Me 3 and some other big animations. And I was like, oh, this is actually, I think my brain finally connected. Like you can do multiple layers of messaging within music. Because what I started to notice in the film world was really good screenwriters and directors, the brilliant ones, are saying so many things at once in one frame if you're really paying attention. And that can be through dialogue or what's there visually or all of these kind of symbolism. And I was like, okay, wait, I can actually adopt a lot of this, which other artists have done. I think for me that was a bit more fun to kind of see where a listener is. If they listen to one song, now of mine, they could listen to the same song in 5 years and hear it totally differently.
Right.
Just because it is so layered. So I guess within the music industry, to really answer your question, I was like, I can adopt all of these skill sets that I've learned along the way through doing group work as a vocalist and being I was a professional contractor here as a singer, and then also had management work for film scoring studios. So then when I started to write my own music, I was like, we can really do storytelling as an art. And that's why the lyrics, like I completely agree with you, lyrics are incredibly important to me because that's the whole body messaging of the song. And that's how I write first. I will write the song and poem first and then make sure that the layers and messaging that I want in there are there to begin with. So then when we add music in, it's all complementary and kind of weaving through each other. And then eventually when we start making music videos to kind of match those Easter eggs that are also within the lyrical symbolism too. So it's this kind of ever, I don't know. I don't want it to ever be boring for people. It's like you got people's attention spans are about seconds long.
Right.
So I wanted to at least make music in a form where you could digest many things from each song of mine, knowing that there's clear intention of multiple layers in there, and have like a captivating experience because, you know, it's what, 2.5 or 3 minutes of someone else's time that's going to get absorbed into it. I want it to be a very like well-rounded vision, not just like wrote a song. I don't know. I guess I'm very analytical about it. I'm not as casual about songwriting because I think it has a major impact on people's psyches.
That's good. That's good because, you know, now, like I said, you know, I would say 50-50, 50% want to make a difference, 50%, you know, there's all about the music and stuff like that. But I think it's great that you take the time to really think about what you want to put out, how you want to put out, and how it affects the world. So that's very important.
Right.
Because, you know, I truly believe that music has a great healing power to it. It's a tremendous
healing power. It does.
One place where we all can get along. You know, everybody, doesn't matter who you are, you're listening to the same type of music, you're just, you're enjoying that moment. There's no hatred. There's no racism.
Yeah.
Nothing. There's just you and the people around you enjoying that, the music. And I think if we have the gift to be able to bring about, you know, a change through music, I said, go for it. And it's okay to be analytical. Why not? If you're producing the best of the best of who you are, through your analysis of everything, go for it. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
That's, you have to do your thing.
Yeah.
You know? I love
totally.
That.
I totally agree with you. It is like the one thing we still have that's like universally unifying. I feel like food, music, like those kind of things are all in a sense like still based in community and how it's received, and that's very important to me. I just feel like way too many people, like all of us, are really going through significant pain right now on many levels.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, well, we can make musical art that's going to help alleviate that. But I've had like breakthroughs with certain songs where it was like, and not even from my own, I mean, yes, through my own songwriting process, but other artists that I kind of would have major moments where I was like, whoa, it would kind of help me get unglued if I was feeling in a, you know, a place of being stuck or
right.
kind of like blocked or like, I guess cemented within my own limitations. A lot of that, like really good songwriters to me, help kind of free that burden for someone else indirectly. And then that person can kind of navigate things that get loosened up within themselves easier. You know, it's like a tool can act as a really major resource. That's kind of how I've been viewing music these days anyway, just because I feel like there's so much artificial, superficial, surface level stuff that I'm like, I'm really noticing people are needing and yearning and gravitating yeah. towards people who are true and honest and authentic, because it's yeah. unfortunately becoming a bit more rare now. I don't know how that happened, but it is. And I think it was like, well, if I don't really care if it's, you know, I think when I stopped caring about the what ifs of like, oh God, will it be commercial or like all of those paranoias of just realistic fear, especially when you're putting out stuff that's highly vulnerable and very like exposing your underbelly, so to speak. I don't know. That just felt like the right thing to do for me, and at least make a connection with an audience that maybe not everyone on the planet could resonate with, but I know the people that it really does touch are going to be people that are probably going to stick with me long term. And to me, that's what I cared about. I cared about more quality over quantity, which I know is like the reverse with the music industry. Usually it's about getting mass quantity,
right?
Semi-quality.
Now, you understand it. You understand.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I know. It is kind of jarring.
Very jarring. It's very jarring. So we're going to
very jarring.
You know the truth of how the music industry works. Most people are putting out, you know, what's heard on the radio is all mainstream, is pay to play, and the stuff that's really important doesn't get as much. And that's just very sad. So we're going to play your song Waves. Tell me what that's about.
Sure. I wrote this song, so my dad had passed away last July, which is crazy because the time is literally evaporating. But he had a terminal, just long-term illness, like congestive heart failure, if anyone knows that whole realm and the complications around the human heart. He had been living with that 12 years of my life. So really, since I exited high school, this has been an ongoing journey for my mom and I as caretakers, and the dynamics that come with that too.
Okay.
And so once he actually passed, which we knew was coming, it was just a more a matter of time.
Right.
And then I think for me, and I had mentioned before, I was in like group therapy for grief, and then I was also in individualized therapy too, because I really wanted to focus on just more emotion-based things than to be productive, so to speak. So what I was learning about myself, and what I was also learning from hearing other people's stories, was that I guess such a permanent loss, especially with a parent, but this can be related to, you know, siblings, a friend, a grandparent, even like honestly animals. I wouldn't say they're in the same realm as a human, but for many people, they can be. And the waves visualization kind of came to me, where some days I would, just like we said, during this whole time being inside and kind of adjusting to this new life, I would have days where I was like, I feel great. And then all of a sudden this wave of emotion would kind of smack me. And it was just a very humbling experience, where in my mind I was like, do, 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 I'm going to go about my day. And then 11 o'clock would hit in the morning. And then I was like, nope, I need to sit down and I need to reassess what my plan is today, because there is no plan. I need to figure this, not even figure it out, just honor it and kind of let it pass. So I wrote this song in the sense with also my co-writer, Mitchell Hauser, who's like an incredible instrumentalist. When I was explaining the concept to him, I wanted it to be like this oceanic visual, where water in itself is naturally healing. You know, if you have a bad day, you could take a bath or a shower and you're like, oh, thank God, today's done. And waves felt like, you know, the symbolism within emotional waves that we're experiencing throughout the day. And then also the healing and the catharsis that comes from when you really do honor those emotions. And then we kind of wrote he wrote the piano in such a way where it's a rolling form. You'll hear it, but it gives you that kind of like buoying sense when there were times or on days where I felt so overwhelmed and just like my head was barely in the surface that I kept, again, getting that visual of people like, I guess, bobbing in water and like just trying their best to like stay afloat and just ride out this kind of storm that we're all experiencing on so many different levels. So even incorporating background vocals that I sang, where it kind of gives you that sense of the tide coming in and the tide coming out, this like kind of pull and tug, just this natural analogy of life where it's this, you're just riding the wave, and what that could mean on a day-to-day basis or your journey throughout life as a whole. So I really wrote it with the intention that someone could hear it now and experience it totally differently than when 5 or 10 years from now they could hear the song, and it can kind of have this timeless effect to you as the listener based off of what you're going through and your journey and how life has been, been your experience, been your own experience. So I wrote it as an homage to grief, but it could be grief on any level. It doesn't have to necessarily be from losing somebody. It can be, you know, people are grieving, letting go of a lot of relationships that don't serve them anymore, friendships that don't serve them anymore. It's grief on every level. It could be grief of what you thought of, you know, the larger picture at hand, where we're kind of seeing a lot of things that we thought were serving us maybe aren't serving us so well as a collective for the greater good. And I wanted to keep it broad enough so people could feel that emotion however they wanted to, but also the intention was very specific. So if people did lose somebody within the last year or two, there is a safe space for people to be heard and really feel honored with how we're processing a loved one gone. That's a permanent journey. So I felt like that was a big offering that I could give after I wrote Waves, but I could dab on for this for hours. I'll let you play the song. Sorry, Natalie.
Oh, that's okay. I got the full expression. Let's play the song.
Yeah.
I've been here before. Looks like a troubled time to be so far from shore. Starry skies will guide us home.
I love that. What genre do you
consider? Oh my God.
If you consider yourself.
I think we're going with like new age conscious music because I'm blending so many different things that it's kind of hard to like put it in a pocket, but that seems to feel right. Where when I was looking up what New Age was, where it's that kind of like cathartic experiential impact you get from music, because we're doing stuff with jazz and soul and also like classical elements, so it's kind of a whole fusion of really it was like, what would I like to listen to and what sounds pretty to me and what makes me feel good? And that's just kind of how I write music, whereas I like to hear the sounds that I've loved to hear since I was tiny. And those influences come out all over in different songs that I write. You know, Borrowed Time is way more like upbeat and soulful and has horns and like old school soul, and this one is a very more like ethereal, I don't know, like classical and jazz combined. So that's my long-winded answer.
I love it. So we're going to play Borrowed Time. Tell me what that's about.
Borrowed Time also stems from more of a place of gratitude.
Okay.
A lot of the stuff that I was kind of processing the last 2 years, really for a while, was, I guess, just honoring. I think, too, when my mom and I were coming to terms with how we were grappling mortality, especially right before my dad passed away, I really started to look at the human body different. And I was like, whoa, this is like the one vessel we get to carry us from day one to the last day. And to me, when I wrote Borrowed Time, you know, the hook is, we're only here on borrowed time, never prepared to lose what's mine. So I guess just kind of being on this floating rock and being kind of a spiritual being having a human experience,
right,
and never knowing when our time is really going to be up. You know, no one really knows that. So I think for me, I wrote the song in more of a space of like being so grateful for having the time that I do have here with the people that I love, that it was really honoring the present and, you know, what was within my control. And with that comes from, how can I feel good when I'm here, and how can I uplift and encourage and inspire other people and kind of be that like a continuous ripple for others. And that's kind of how Borrowed Time came about. And it's literally a 180 from Waves. I mean, this is something you could play at like a barbecue outside and everyone's eating and having fun. So you'll get the vibe. It's a totally different vibe, which is what I wanted. I wanted to be able to honor all these different kind of arrays of human emotion that are important.
All righty. Let's
yeah.
You will forget mistakes or your regrets. No, it's not the time. Oh, no, not yet. What can come between me and you?
I love that.
Yes.
I love it all. Love it all. Now, what is the one thing or quote or message that you like to live by every day or every year or every month or every second?
Ooh. Right now it's been do what feels good.
Yes.
Just focusing on do what feels good. If it doesn't feel good, if it's not giving me joy, if it's not like a hell yeah, then it's
I like that.
Then it's a no.
If it's not a hell yeah, it needs to go. Amen.
Yeah. If it's not a hell yeah, it's a hell no.
That's right. I like that. It's very groovy.
That's awesome. I so wish I could have been a fly on the wall, like if you were dancing in your chair or if any of that was happening.
You're so right. I mean, people, you got to live. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. Just got to live and try to be as happy as you can. And if you can work doing the thing that you love, do it. I mean, there's only possibilities out there. And I think, like you said, the pandemic has taught us to do the yay moments instead of the no moments, because what we've learned here is that life is short, and we already knew that, but my God, it's even shorter than we even knew. And so people need to get out there, do your thing, know that everything that you do is subjective, but the one important thing is that you need to love what you do. You need to love yourself, mm-hmm. because that is energy that you're putting forth out there into the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's what you'll get.
I couldn't agree with that more.
Amen. Well, Megan, I can't believe 45 minutes has gone by so fast. Thank you so much chatting with Nat. It was truly an honor. I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to stalk you. I will follow you. I'll follow your music. You are truly an authentic artist, and you really think about everything, and I love that about you. You really put your whole soul into everything that you're doing, and that's fantastic. And I think people will be inspired by you.
Well, don't make me cry here. I'm like tearing up. Thank you so much.
We need more artists like you, because a lot of people think and a lot of people that I've spoken on my podcast, they're really serious about their craft. They really want to be effective. players, but there are a lot of people out there that just don't. They just care about fame and all that stuff. They don't care about giving back and the power that we have as artists to the world. And I love the fact that you're just, you're thinking about the whole healing process and different ways and, you know, just bringing life to people that, you know, feel empty inside. So kudos to you.
Thank you, Natalie. Oh my God. That's like the compliment of the century today. I'm like very honored.
Yes. Well,
I know. I feel it.
Thank you so much. You know, everybody can find you. You have a Patreon account, Megan Graney Music. You have an Instagram, Megan Graney.
Yes.
You have YouTube. You have SoundCloud. You have it all. They should just Google you. They can't find you. She is awesome.
You're the best, Natalie.
Thank you so much. So, everybody, that was singer-songwriter Megan Graney on Chatting with Nat. Like I said, you need to find her. You need to listen to her. You need to just be in awe of her talent. You'll get so much out of her music. Aww. Just do it. Find it. Until next time on Chatting with Nat.
Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.